In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You're advised that any views expressed by the hosts or their guests are not necessarily the views of Tugg Entertainment or its partners.
Welcome to the Fertility Forum with your host, Phyllis Martin, a psychotherapist and expert in the field. Phyllis is going to assist you in navigating the disappointments and decisions that often accompany the difficult journey from diagnosis to conception, pregnancy to parenthood. Join Phyllis now as she interviews other top experts in the field as they deal with the differing types of infertility, what it means, what one can consider, and what the psychological and emotional impact that accompanies all of this may be. This is the Fertility Forum on TogiNet.com. And now, here's your host, Phyllis Martin.
Hi, welcome to the Fertility Forum. You're on with Phyllis Martin. And tonight I have psychotherapist Helen Adrian. She is licensed in New York and New Jersey, and she is with the New York City chapter of Resolve. For those of you that know of Resolve, I talk about it a lot. It's a nonprofit group and very much a great way to connect to get resources. Helen Adrian is also someone that has been doing psychotherapy for individuals and couples since 1979. She works with those dealing with reproductive care and infertility, and she does mind-body groups. In fact, she's got mind-body groups at the Wellness Program in New York City's NYU Fertility Center. So she has been kind enough to come tonight and speak about her book called On Fertile Ground, Healing Infertility. And this book is something that if you don't have it, you want to get your hands on it. It was, it's been a bestseller and was out, I believe, January 11th, last year. It hit the bestseller list. So that's quite, an important piece because fertility books are something that, add to the resources as you're looking for ways to help yourself. But this book in particular is really different. And so Helen's here to talk about that. And, I want to welcome you to the show. Helen, thanks. How are you?
Very well, Phyllis. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having, making the time to come and to share information from your experience as well as from your book.
Mm-hmm. It's truly my pleasure.
Thank you. One of the questions that I always like to find out with authors, you've been doing therapy for a long time and specializing in reproductive care, but it was it's been in the recent past that you wrote this particular book. What inspired you?
Well, it's almost as if the book wrote itself. I have loved this work for all of the almost 33 years that I've been involved in it. And I got my MSW a little bit later. I was already a mother with three little children, but I had been through the mill in terms of gynecological and reproductive care. So mm-hmm. when I came out of my MSW program, I just decided I was going to get myself some good supervision, and I was going to begin immediately working with individuals and couples and focusing on anything that went through an OBGYN office. And mm-hmm. as time went by, pretty soon it became obvious to me that there was more infertility coming in than anything else. And yeah. in 1989, I was one of two people who were working in this field. It was brand new in the city, two people in the city. And then I also mm-hmm. had a practice in the suburbs, and the level of primitivism was just extraordinary. I would do outreach in the city, and I would say, you know, everything that goes through your office is so highly charged emotionally, mm-hmm. and they were happy to have me as a resource for the most part.
Yes.
I built a referral source pretty quickly.
Yeah, I bet.
In the suburbs, what I got was, my patients don't need that kind of thing, which was completely horrifying as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Not even have the sensitivity to recognize how difficult, whether it is miscarriage or
right.
syndrome, menopause, pregnancy, giving birth, you know, it doesn't matter. The area of the body is very personal, and the connection to the emotional system is hot. And
right.
So I was very, very pleased to be able to provide this service, you know, based on what I learned in my own childbearing years.
Well, it's an excellent resource, and, you know, really you're a pioneer in the field in this regard. And noticing that there is so much that goes along with reproduction is a tremendous piece of helping people as they go through the journey when things get most difficult.
Yeah. Now, at this point in time, every clinic has a psych staff. It's pretty understood. But I must credit NYU for having the sensitivity to have not only a psych staff but a wellness program, because what happens with anybody who's struggling with infertility, I'm sure everyone in this audience gets this immediately, is that you feel completely out of control of your life.
Right.
One day you're minding your own business and going to work and having your friends and whatnot, and the next day, as if the world has exploded in your face and you don't recognize anything about your life anymore. And so the level of anxiety and the depth of depression are absolutely par for the course. And people don't know what
right.
to do and they don't know how to manage it, which is where the mind-body program that I present at the end of each chapter can be so helpful, because it helps people get back into their skin, understand what their coping skills are and what coping skills they don't have that they can learn. And
right.
You can't control that you're on this journey, but you sure as hell can control how you're on it.
And that's, yes, absolutely.
That's what I love so much about the work, you know.
I do, and I like the way you have the mind-body pieces at the end of the chapters. Why don't you tell listeners how your book is organized? Because I think that's one of the powerful things about your book.
Yeah, it's, first I present the audience with a map of the typical ways in which infertility impacts individuals, couples, families, and friendship. And then I normalize depression and anxiety, and I lay out the different types of coping. There's what's called problem-solving coping and letting go coping. Problem-solving coping is self-explanatory, you know, here's the problem. Let's just say it is I don't feel understood by my doctor. Okay, so the solution is you get another doctor.
Right.
But the only solution to infertility in general is bringing home a baby, and that could take, in some cases, years. So
right.
The other kind of coping is where there's such value, and that is called letting go coping. Letting go coping means that you do what I call diving under the turbulence, or you put yourself in an infertility free zone. I have all these techniques that I teach of how to do that, because what that allows the body to do is to come as close back to neutral as is reasonable. And the thing that's wonderful is that the letting go coping techniques have a positive correlation with rates of pregnancy. And you know, the letting techniques are the relaxation response, guided imagery, you know, some of the, there are so many tapes out on the market now where you can breathe easy and just let your mind be put at rest, and mindfulness and meditation. And then the one that my patients absolutely flip because it makes such a difference is hypnosis. And
yes.
So in the book,
yes.
Book I teach self-hypnosis, and then there's a chapter on spirituality, because there's nobody who's going through this who doesn't say some variation of why me, you know, and,
sure,
you know, feeling like Job, and then comes the part that over all of the years that I was working with fertility patients, this book was brewing, and that is the way that you can use adversity for growth. And what it involves is basically studying yourself at a point in time when you're in no mood to study anything. But the truth is that if you build awareness and you examine, you know, what are my personality traits? Do I have a tendency to think negatively? Do I have a tendency to fly off into anger? Does my self-esteem, you know, take a hike? Am I impatient? Am I insecure? Am I frightened? You know, do I frighten easily? These are the six character traits that I invite people to look at so that they can learn to respond to stress rather than to react to it with those characteristics. And so in the end, it's about, finding the bliss in the mess, developing acceptance first of this is where I'm at, then awareness of who I am, and then learning how to adapt to the problems.
And go ahead.
Basically, the net of it is that the last chapter, pull everything together so that people can understand that they can become a new, improved version of themselves. That they have, you know, if they have good medical care, that's really the seeds that they're handing over to their doctors, whether it's a sperm or eggs. But they themselves are the soil in which those seeds will grow. And so learning how to scrutinize what you're doing, what is your lifestyle, what are your stress warning signals, by doing that, you're taking care of you're fertilizing the soil in which the seeds can grow. You're bringing to a state of receptivity. And, you know, that's the big thrill for me that I can that point.
Excellent point. And I think, you know, the analogy is so fitting. We are going to take a break for commercial. We'll be back in 30 seconds. If you're just tuning in, I'm here with Helen Adrian. She's a licensed social worker. She does psychotherapy in New York and New Jersey. She runs mind-body therapy groups at the NYC, let's see, what is it, Fertility Center, NYU Fertility Center. And you can find her on mind-body-unity.com.
This is the show about infertility, gaining support, and information. This is the Fertility Forum, and we'll be right back with more with Phyllis Martin right after these on TogiNet.com. Have you ever wondered why America is facing such a healthcare crisis? Then join us for Dr. Peter DeVette Live every weekday at 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. He'll answer your health care and medical questions and share with you his knowledge and opinions on topics ranging from holistic health care to spirituality and wellness. You'll find out about the roots of your health care challenges versus symptom management, the holistic approach, how the spirit, mind, and body connection is critical in both the development of illness and the solution to illness, how emotions are directly related to physical illness, and how to read your body like a book. Dr. DeVette will also go through your personal questions and how you can navigate through the illness maze. Supplements, medications, therapies, treatment options, surgeries, all kinds of things related to your health. Dr. Peter DeVette Live, every weekday at 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Booyah! That's the word uttered when you know you have the upper hand or you're the winner. Well, now we have the Booyah Radio Hour with Martin Bressy. Tuesdays at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com. Martin's show is all about helping speakers and authors find their niche, create their brand, and achieve massive success. Each week, Martin will interview guests from around the world who have achieved tremendous success as speakers and authors. You'll find out who they are, what they do, and how you can follow in their footsteps to achieve incredible results.
Guests will come from around the world of business, entertainment, finance, the arts, and sciences. Nothing is off topic. No subject too taboo. We'll share valuable information as well as huge laughs as we discover the ups and downs of being a successful speaker and author. The Booyah Radio Hour with Martin Pressey. Tuesdays at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to the Fertility Forum, where you'll hear from speakers who will share their personal experience, medical expertise, trials and tribulations, and options to consider, and so much more. Now, let's get back to the show, The Fertility Forum, on TogiNet.com. And here again is your host, Phyllis Martin.
Hi, welcome back. I'm talking to psychotherapist and author Helen Adrian. She is talking about her book tonight called On Fertile Ground, Healing Infertility. And if you have a question and you'd like to speak with her directly, or I am, then get on to the live chat section of the website. If you're listening live, I know you're already there, but I have lots of people that will lurk and not ask questions. So just hit live chat if you've got a question, and my producer will get it on the air. So, Helen, you were just talking about how your book is laid out and that you give this map of all the areas that infertility impacts. And then you went through several things, and you mentioned at one point trying to get one's body back to neutral with mindfulness or meditation and so on. Could you explain what is neutral first, because that is the goal, and then we'll go into hypnosis and some of the things that you propose and do for your client to get them to that state?
I think that the only way to think of neutral is exactly as you said, as a goal, because life on planet Earth has its anxieties that that exist even on a good day. But infertility is not a good day for most of people's time. And what happens is that when we are in a state of anxiety in particular, that we, at the very best, breathe in a very shallow manner. Mm-hmm. And yet, breath is a built-in tranquilizer. And so the concept of breathing and the concept of clearing the mind of all of the chatter and all of the ways that it goes either to the past, the past is a predictor of the future, or the future worried about will it ever come to fruition and this and that and the other we spend very little time in the present moment, and yet as a mind body animal, the unity of the mind and body, and we are breathing easily in the present moment, and when we are not thinking of, oh my God, I forgot to, blah, 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 or I hate my boss, or whatever it is that people
use. Yeah, all that chatter.
When we can suspend that, then the autonomic nervous system tames down, and the body begins to let go and relax. These are the letting go techniques and the ways in which, by the way, they have a positive correlation with rates of pregnancy.
Which is what's so incredible, because it really does impact, no matter what one's situation is, it really does have the power to impact success rates, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but the place where it gets a little tricky is I don't like people to be saying, oh, goody, I'm going to get involved in this mind-body breathing techniques and relaxation techniques, and I'm going to make it happen and yada-da. Well, you know what? If your tubes are blocked, do that all day long. Your tubes are blocked, but there are so many variables that the last thing I want any of the listeners to think about is setting themselves up to have yet another reason to blame themselves, right?
So what we aim to do,
Lily Tomlin said it very well. She said, for fast-acting relief, try blowing down. And, you know, let's face it, in this world, everybody's racing around multitasking. And, you know, so people need to scrutinize their lifestyle. I mean, I've had women these days, especially the last decade or two, women have had the choice. They become doctors and lawyers and in finance world, and they travel for business and everything else. And I've had people who have taken themselves off a part track in a law, to all kinds of things. They have the space to engage in good self-care, which is, you know, what mind body is all about, an awareness of, with your mind, of what's going on as you live in your body.
Yes. And the only way to do that is to truly slow down and pay attention, isn't it?
To paying attention. That's awareness. Mm-hmm. It's awareness and adaptation. That's the awareness piece.
Mm-hmm. In your book, one of the things that is different is you talk about hypnotherapy. Can you expand on that?
Well, yeah. Hypnosis is not what you might see in a theater or on a television show or a movie where, you know, there's a swinging watch and someone is saying you are getting sleepy. Stage hypnosis, and it's done... the power of medical hypnosis, a real disservice. Hypnosis is a natural state. You might call it a daydream. I mean, it's really nothing more than, you know, sitting and staring at the surf, for instance. Staring at a candle and watching the way it dances. And, you know, that is hypnotic. And that is... The very easy to understand definition of what a trance is. Now, with clinical hypnotherapy, we use that capacity that everybody has to go into trance. We use it on purpose so that we can invite people, if I do hypnosis with someone as opposed to teaching them self-hypnosis, they follow my voice. I pay attention to how they're breathing. I invite them to breathe easily. I invite them to bring attention to various muscle groups and learn how to relax those muscle groups and reinforce happening. Now, what makes hypnosis different from guided imagery and meditation and whatnot is that ahead of time, we decide on what's called a post-hypnotic suggestion. And that means that that when you're in a relaxed state, the unconscious mind opens up. It doesn't have to guard against anything. It feels safe and relaxed, and it doesn't worry. I'm in danger for this reason, that reason. And so when the unconscious mind opens up, I'm trained to speak the language of the unconscious. Language of the unconscious mind is not linear left brain. It's more storytelling, metaphors, wordplay, because the unconscious mind is the five-year-old in all of us. I talk is incredibly powerful. I think that there are people out there who presume that they could never be hypnotized. And what I would challenge is it that you can't be hypnotized? Because everybody goes into hypnotic trances, even when you're driving a car. You can say to yourself, you know, how did I get here? You know, it was trance. But if you worry that you're not going to be in control, that's where you fear that you fear going into trance because you fear that somebody is going to have power over you. But the truth of the matter is all hypnosis is really self-hypnosis because nobody's going to go into a trance. Nobody's going to follow my voice into a trance unless they want. And, you know, then they can see the magnificence of what can happen and how in a very short period of time you can encourage your body to enter into a different state. So if I said to your audience right now, just do a little body scan and notice, you know, how you're sitting. Is there a kink in your neck? You know, is your posture reasonable? Can you move your body out in some way so that you feel, you know, that you're in your skin to the degree that you can be?
Right.
Notice what it is that's going on. And then take one very generous inhalation like this, followed by a generous exhalation.
Mm-hmm.
And only on rare occasions, I wouldn't be able to tell you what percentage, but maybe 5 or 10% of people don't feel a difference. That means that 90%
interesting.
People
do.
Breath
feel right.
Different. Right? So then if you can feel different in one breath, imagine if you were in a state where you were breathing fully and so focused in the present moment that you weren't worrying about the past or the future. That's the point at which a hypnotherapist can deliver the post-hypnotic suggestion. You also
right.
have to, you know, this is why just anybody shouldn't be doing hypnosis, because
mm-hmm.
trained to be able to help people identify underlying belief systems.
Yes, yes.
Maybe bollocking things up, you know. So, you know, I can work with someone from a script that I could create that has all these goodies in it that encourage people to go to a certain place and la-da-da-da-da-da. But if the mm-hmm. underlying system is, I'll never get pregnant, then you're not going to get pregnant. See, this is
yeah.
where knowing... working with a professional who can help you learn more about who you are can make all the
mm-hmm.
difference.
It does make all the difference, and it seems like it's, you know, one of the last things we set out to accomplish when we're trying to get pregnant is to sort of look closer at ourselves. You know, I think
yep.
as a former patient, we're always looking for, you know, what's the next thing I can do to help increase my chances. We might focus a lot on body, but you bring up such a good point to really attend to these belief systems that we have. We have to break. That was very quick. We've got a break for commercial.
Okay.
I'm again on with Helen Adrian. She's a social worker and talking about the power of hypnosis when you're having that treatment done by a trained professional. And we'll be right back.
Is the show about infertility, gaining support, and information. This is the Fertility Forum, and we'll be right back with more with Phyllis Martin right after these on TogiNet.com.
How to invest, where to invest, where to save, where to get the right insurance, what to do about taxes, should I relocate my business or ever purchase a property? That's where Go To My Radio Show comes in. Join host Chris Holt Tuesday afternoons at 1 Pacific, 3 Central on GoToMyRadioShow.com. Choose the right financial professional and learn more about the products and services while learning the terminology and strategies used by these professionals. Go To My Radio Show is unbiased, and Chris Holt, your host, will ask the hard questions and take calls to help you connect with the right professional who can help you better handle your financial and business choices. Go To My Radio Show is not a financial services company and does not offer any financial advice, but we will help you make the right choice when it comes to planning your financial future, and most of all, choosing the right program and the right professional for you. Go To My Radio Show with Chris Holt, Tuesday afternoons at 1 Pacific, 3 Central on GoToMyRadioShow.com.
The Mary Beth Wells Hour is a talk radio show where we reach out, reach deep, and talk about topics of substance. We'll cover points of interest, such as World War II and the Holocaust, the Vietnam War, the planets and the oceans, skydiving, rock climbing, and much, much more. Join me every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we delve into and discuss fascinating subjects. It's a program to pique your interest for sure.
Welcome back to the Fertility Forum, where you'll hear from speakers who will share their personal experience, medical expertise, trials and tribulations, and options to consider, and so much more. Now, let's get back to the show, The Fertility Forum, on TogiNet.com. And here again is your host, Phyllis Martin.
Hi, I'm back with Helen Adrian. She is a psychotherapist in New York, New Jersey, and also author of On Fertile Ground, Healing Infertility. And she was just talking about the art of hypnosis, and when a person is dealing with infertility, that this could be an excellent way to help get yourself into the right, I guess we call it sort of that neutral state, Helen. And
yeah,
to be open.
Mm-hmm. That's a very specific and accurate way of expressing it.
And I was saying right before the break, you know, that it's just so difficult to stay in the present when one's going through infertility. And that I certainly remember as a patient, the what if down the road, worryful thinking, and the what can I do kinds of thoughts that so many of my clients have. And they might be doing exercise, or they might be doing some, you know, nutritional thing, but there's a lot of striving to stay in control and thinking, what can I do?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, doing the right things cannot be discounted. Certainly, I've seen people change their diet radically, change their work schedule radically, make all kinds of adjustments. So you can't knock doing. It's
mm-hmm,
part of
mm-hmm.
how we cope. But the thing is that when doing becomes checking off the list, okay, I just went to yoga class, okay,
yeah.
I just had tofu for lunch or whatever, then you're not necessarily helping yourself if you're doing it in a way that doesn't integrate with letting yourself be. And all of the letting go techniques are about just plain being in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
As I say in my CD, breathing in the present moment and breathing the present moment in.
Mm-hmm.
What lets go of that grip of frenzy?
Yes. It really does feel like a frenzy, too.
Yep. Yeah, it really does. And it's just, you know, part of the true pleasure for me in this wonderful career that I've had for such a long time is sometimes in one session watching a person whose shoulders are no longer earrings, you know, they come down, oh, their chest, and all of a sudden they say, oh, that's like to breathe, you know, they feel hopeful, they feel there's something they can participate in. And even though studying yourself is the last thing you're in the mood for, when you realize that if you look at who you are and how you do things, that you can then make changes. And,
right.
You know, this change that smacked you in the face, but then, you know, you can turn the tables on change and be sitting in the driver's seat, and you can decide what you're going to change and how you're going to change it. Makes all the difference.
It really does, and it's very powerful. You know, you had mentioned that that kind of frenzied thinking about what to do is very left brain like. Can you talk about the role of the brain?
Yes, I think it's really important for people to understand that whenever we elect to change something, I can give you a written guarantee that resistance is going to kick in. If it
mm-hmm.
didn't, then everybody would be very happy on January 2nd.
Yes.
Right? But is a built-in resistance because we all expect in some part of our mind to go to bed on Monday night and to wake up the same person on Tuesday. So the minute you veer off into another direction, a part of your brain is saying, well, where do you think you're going? And
yes.
And that you're pulled back to where you were. And, you know, you hate to see people throw up their hands and say, you see, I knew it. I could never do this.
Right.
Whereas if you
right.
understand resistance is part of the story, then you can kind of, you know, prepare yourself to navigate through the change process, understanding that it's not a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
It's two forward, one back. Three forward, two back. I mean, you know, it
yeah.
has a root to it. And it's really all about getting in the driver's seat and saying, look, this is what my habit is telling me to do, but
mm-hmm.
I am going to find the mental muscle to do this thing over here instead. And I find that with, you know, helping people to get involved in practicing something as simple as the relaxation response.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting, they do it in class with me or in private session, and
yeah.
wow, difference. And they, you know, I instruct them, please practice this as much as you can.
Right.
Once, it would be fantastic. So they come back the next week and they'll say something like, oh, I forgot. The unconscious mind saying, well, wait a minute, you trained me to be type A. Now you're going to tell me to slow down? I don't think so, right?
Yes,
or they,
yes.
I promised myself I was going to do this every day and I only did it twice. So I have to help them understand that if you do it for 5 minutes in 1 week, you win, because you're half to training yourself to do something different. And I always frame everything that I teach people so that they feel like they are succeeding, because it's really easy to feel like you're failing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, then a little bit more about the brain. Most people have heard about the difference between left brain reasoning, linear thinking, and right brain, which is more creative, more playful. Now, the linear thinking is what's going to keep the frenzy going. If all you do is linear thinking, you know, there is certainly a place for it. Linear thinking is, oops, it's 8:30, it's time to take my shot.
Right.
You know, and keeping the routine of whatever is required of you to cooperate
right.
with your medicine.
Right. Organize.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But then there has to be a time and a space that you create to just breathe and be, however you do that. So, for instance, mindfulness. I teach mindfulness in a very simple way. We get up and we walk around the conference table in NYU Conference Center, right? We walk around, and you do it in silence and just think to yourself, now I'm moving my right foot forward, now I'm picking my left heel up. Basically identifying what you're doing, because if you're identifying what you're doing, you can't be driving yourself crazy with other thoughts.
That's right.
Or now I'm slicing the cucumbers, now I'm peeling the carrots. You know, it doesn't really matter as long as you're in whatever you're doing. Because
yes.
the limbic brain, which is the part of the brain that holds trauma, and even if you've had a perfect life, if you're struggling with infertility, you are holding trauma in the limbic brain.
Yeah.
That part of the brain it can't tell time. It only knows about the present moment. So if you do 5 minutes of breathing, as far as the limbic brain is concerned, you may have sat there for an hour, right?
Okay,
so
okay.
Any letting go technique that you can do, even for a short while, will begin to remind the body of who it was born to be, right? So if you spend any time in any kind of indigenous culture, as I did, I went to a little village in Africa, and the children there, you know, they didn't have shoes, they had ripped t-shirts, I mean, they had nothing, but they were smiling, and they were teaching us songs, and we were teaching them songs, And as we were leaving, the leader, the person who was showing us around, said, "You are going to be the talk of the campfire tonight." Campfire. In other words, anything that reverses the physiology of stress, whether it's telling stories, drumming, singing, you know, engaging in things that when you see a kindergarten child sitting on the rug and the teacher is sitting on a chair reading a book, all of the kids have their eyes wide open and their mouth wide open, and they're just staring.
So in the moment, in the present moment,
they're listening to the story. They're imagining, you know, the story and what's happening in it. We need to go there. We can go there with dance. We could go there with music. Music is incredible. It will bring you to a place that you need to be. Like, for instance, if you want an Alfred Hitchcock movie, you know without seeing anything that somebody's going to die pretty soon because of the music. And by the same token, you know, there's some lovely, you know, New Agey kind of music or instrumental music, some classical music, where you just feel the rhythm of it as if it were a lullaby, rocking you and maintaining that place of breathing and being in the present moment. Fancy techniques. You can just ask yourself, what makes me happy? What makes me feel in my skin and alive and is engaging enough so that I can let go of all the things that are on my mind?
Yes, and I think that what you say around letting go and really being in that moment, you know, it sounds so easy. It can be quite a challenge for people. All these things, it sounds like they are part of the right brain, that creative part of us, that playful part of us. And as you said earlier, sort of that five-year-old little self that responds in hypnosis part of us.
Yes.
Excellent. We, again, are going to break for commercial in about a minute. I just want to reiterate, for those of you looking to connect with Helen Adrian, go to her website at www.mind-body-unity.com. You will find her there, and under resources, you'll find all her books, articles, and everything else that might interest you in your fertility journey. We'll be right back.
Is the show about infertility, gaining support, and information. This is the Fertility Forum, and we'll be right back with more with Phyllis Martin right after these on TogiNet.com. Is there more living for you to do?
Yes.
Start living inspired. Be here for Living Inspired with Tricia Goyer, Thursday afternoons at 4, 3 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Tricia will dig deep into topics that matter most to women, inspiring women to make a change in their own lives and to make a difference in the world, and maybe even deep within their own hearts. Tricia is a wife, mom, speaker, family expert, and author of 24 books. For more information on Tricia and Living Inspired, go to her website, TriciaGoyer.com. That's TriciaGoyer.com. Tricia's vision is to be the voice of hope and possibility for women of all ages. Her intention is to serve ordinary women by encouraging extraordinary things with God's help. Tricia expresses real life, real hope for real women. Is there more living for you to do? Yes. Start living inspired. Living Inspired with Tricia Goyer. Thursday afternoons at 4, 3 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to the Fertility Forum, where you'll hear from speakers who will share their personal experience, medical expertise, trials and tribulations, and options to consider, and so much more. Now, let's get back to the show, The Fertility Forum, on TogiNet.com. And here again is your host, Phyllis Martin.
Hi, Hi, I've been speaking with Helen Adrian tonight, and she is the author of On Fertile Ground, Healing Infertility. If you're looking to connect with her, please do so on her website, mind-body-unity.com. But also understand that she has a few blogs, two blogs. One is called Baby Manifesto, and the other one is Through Psychology Today. If you go on her website, you will see that. But I will also put that up on the Fertility Forum website, so you can just click the link. Also, one of the great things that Helen offers is consult with folks that are interested, a few moments of information sharing through her website, as well as phone consults. So she's an expert in her field. She's got a passion at what she does, been practicing since 1979, and certainly has a wealth of wisdom and expertise to share with you. So please do reach out if you're looking for some help as you go through your fertility journey and your family building journey. In our last bit of the show, Helen, I was wondering, you know, you used the word healing in your title, infertility healing. Could you talk about what you mean there by healing?
Well, healing may or may not be cure. Healing is a kind of a total body, total mind-body experience where you can arrive at a place that is better than where you started. And
okay.
So if you understand that adversity can be the best teacher of what we need in order to understand how we can become a more improved version of ourselves, how we can gain from the pain, how we can find the bliss in the mess, however you want to say it, then the attitude allows you to step back and say, okay, this is what I'm going through, and this is that's going to make for a calmer, more thoughtful, more skilled, more self-satisfied, more authentic version of myself. And it's certainly possible to get there. I mean, in my work and what you'll find in the book, since I interviewed more than two dozen former patients, starting with the question, how is your life better because you were fertile? And everybody thought I was nuts for sending that one around. And yet, the people who responded, everybody had an answer. Yeah, I am a better mother. We have a better, stronger relationship.
Yeah,
I no longer, sweat the small stuff. If you read the book, there is an entire chapter devoted to how people feel that they're better off because they went through this.
Yes, and it seems so counterintuitive when you're going through it, but I am one of those people as well. I think that, I actually would not trade in all those years, as difficult as they were, because of what it taught me and how I used those skills. And I've heard many clients say the same. And so I like the way you say find the bliss in the mess, because it's really, again, the last thing you're looking for is some life lesson. You're looking for the baby. But if you miss the opportunity to find a life lesson, it's a tremendous loss compounded by all the difficulty that you're going through.
And, the thing that makes it hard is that you really need, at a time when you're feeling beaten to a pulp, you need to develop a certain discipline in order to, follow through on the particularly the letting go coping techniques, practicing them so that you can remind yourself every day that here you are and all is well. You're not at yet, but here you are, and right now, all is well. And then the other thing is that I really want to put emphasis on the word love, because, most people go into their bedroom and come out pregnant. They can themselves in a loving way, and infertility patients are, their private parts are literally under fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
And you really have to keep the heart as the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. And in fact, sometimes I work hypnotically with the couple when they're going mm-hmm. through an IVF procedure because, you know, their eggs are taken from them. The man is in what one of my patients called the boom boom room, you know, to play poison. And then down the hall, they're trying to get fertilization. And then across town, these little tiny things are growing in a petri dish.
Right.
Got to keep the love that is driving this incredible challenge at the center of the story in order to get through this. And, you know, most people who become pregnant after such a battle are afraid to trust that they are pregnant. They worry,
yes.
So you just have to keep the softness that I think goes along with the word love.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure that, hard as it may be, that you find a space, even if you have to put it in your appointment book, 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, we're going to find mm-hmm. something joyful about.
Yes.
Because it usually flies right out the window.
That's right. So it certainly does.
You have to use this discipline, this mental muscle, to not lose the 6 months, 10 months, 2 years, 4 years, whatever it takes for you to get to your goal. You don't want those years to be out the window. You want to be able to say, well, okay, we were in a battle, but we had fun doing this, and we took that vacation when we took a break from it, and we painted the wall red, and we, you know what I mean? Just so that sight of the fact that life really is best lived when it can be lived with balance.
Yes, and there's so much to what you speak about tonight as well as what you write that although you're talking about infertility, these are really skills to learn for the next big life stressor because there will always be something.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you should say that because not only is it likely that you'll get another pie in your face, because we all do, I had many, aside from professional reviewers, I had many colleagues and friends who read this book, and one woman in particular read it, and she comes galloping down the street. We were meeting for lunch, and she's waving the manuscript, and she flying over to me. She says, I am buying this book when it comes out for my friend Lisa. She is not infertile, but she needs to read these words. Because if you pull out the word infertility and put in anything, any adversity, the book is going to help. And I would just like to invite anybody who's listening to this show, not only if you're struggling with infertility, but if you love someone who's struggling with infertility or if you treat them, or as a therapist or as a reproductive endocrinologist, this book is going to give you a broad spectrum, the panoramic view of what people really struggle with and what the options are for making it better.
It truly is. It's an excellent resource, both for people dealing with it as well as those treating people that are dealing with infertility. And I think that idea around making sure that love is at the center of all of this, is critical because when sex goes out the window, people assume a lot of love goes out the window too due to intimacy loss and so on. And while that left brain is scheduling and wanting to do, you can let that left brain schedule time to show each other in different ways what the right brain needs so much.
And then the other thing is that very often, the book with the title "Women Are from Venus and Men Are from Mars" or whatever.
Sure.
Everybody, the sexes tend to think differently, and men in general don't know what to do sometimes when women are emotional because to them it's okay. You know, if it's the car or the toilet, well then we're going to fix it. Except your wife is not a car or a toilet. If
right.
Woman, she wants to do is feel understood and have her say and whatever. And everybody is everyone is at risk for feeling divided. And the truth of the matter is that maybe the best thing you can do is just hold each other and breathe and feel that still the connection that you have with each other, the love that you have that is driving this force, and to know that there are no words except maybe we're in this together.
Right.
We'll get this.
Right.
No matter what. You know, just very
Very, very powerful words, and whether it's male factor or female factor, it impacts both. And to be able to say, we'll figure it out, we'll get through this, even if we don't know how, I think is a comfort to everybody.
Yeah. And you will be looking back on this someday. That's the part that sometimes is so easy to lose sight of.
Yeah, I like to tell my clients, believe it or not, this is a phase. It actually won't last forever. You will look back on this. In some way, there will be resolution. I don't know how, but it's important to keep that in mind. And you know, we just hit quickly on the fact that as a couple, people can do this. Men like to fix things and often don't know how. I just want to remind listeners that Helen does work with individuals, men and women, and couples, and that you can find her on our website, mind-body-unity.com. And you want to check out these blogs because the Baby Manifesto gives so much great information, and her blog through Psychology Today is something you want to pick up, stay current, and just help remind yourself that you're not alone, and there are things that you can do to help yourself through the process, even if, as you said earlier tonight, Helen, you can't unblock those tubes by the power of thinking, but you can certainly handle things in a different way as you go through the process by being more mindful.
Mm-hmm. Staying in your skin.
Absolutely. Helen, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Oh, and thank you.
Absolutely. And we will have your blog information, your website, and all of that on the Fertility Forum. If there's anybody that didn't get to hear the whole thing or wants to pass this on to someone else in your life, please know that you can do that by downloading off of iTunes. Just go into the podcast. Look up the Fertility Forum, and you will see February 20th with Helen Adrian, and you're good to go. Helen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Phyllis.
Okay, take care.
Thank you for joining us for the Fertility Forum on TogiNet.com with your host, Phyllis Martin. Join us again next Monday.